two passages of Scripture that are very interesting as we look at, as we begin looking at the Scripture. But we remember that David, as he was young, he had a very good early life, did he not? And we read where he killed a lion with his bare hands, did he? No, well, that we find that he killed a bear. And then we read that he killed a giant. So he had a very good start, did he not? He was very strong, and he had a good start. But notice, as we said in 1 Kings chapter 3, it said that he could not do the things that God wanted him to do because of the wars which were about him on every side. Now, of course, we could look at ourselves, and we could see, if we're not careful, the things on every side that would stop us from serving God. And we have to be careful not to allow those things to stop us from serving the Lord. So as we turn now to 2 Samuel chapter 11, we begin to see the situation. Notice the wars that David faced as he would be king, and the things that would take place. And of course, in 2 Samuel chapter 11, we have the account of David's fall. David actually disobeyed God, even though he was a ruler of the land and he was the king. He disobeyed God. But notice, and I won't read all, for time's sake, I will not read all of these verses and then go back, but we want to look at some of the verses briefly here in chapter 11 of 2 Samuel and see the wars that David faced. First of all, I would say that there was the war of the flesh. It would be impossible for us to say that we can go through our lifetime without getting upset or the flesh taking over at some time and us get angry or some other things happen or whatever. But in David's case, we see that the flesh really took over. But notice where it started, if you would. Notice in verse 1 of 2 Samuel chapter 11, and it says, "And it came to pass, after the year was expired, at the time when the kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbath. But David tarried still at Jerusalem." First of all, I would say to you, here's the king, and he tarried. Let me say, he lingered. That was the first war that he had. He began to succumb to the flesh, and so he just lingered. But then in verse 2, if you'll notice, the Word of God says, "And it came to pass in the evening tide, that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon." So here we see that David looked. But then we read in the next verses 3, 4, and 5, it says, "And David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Elam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? And David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. And the woman conceived and sent and told David and said, I am with child." Let me say to you, he not only did he linger when he should have been out serving, he looked when he should not have been looking, but he lusted. He lusted after Bathsheba. But then verse 6 and verse 7, "And David sent to Joab, saying, Send me Uriah the Hittite. And Joab sent Uriah to David. And when Uriah was coming to him, David demanded of him how Joab did, and how the people did and how the war prospered. And David said to Uriah, "Go down to thy house and wash thy feet." And Uriah departed out of the king's house, and there followed him a mess of meat from the king. But and we would see here that David just lied, did he not? And then in verse 8, and I'm not going to take the time to read all these verses, but from verse 8 all the way down to verse 27, David labored to cover up his sin. So one of the wars that stopped David from being able to serve God was the war against the flesh. And if we're not careful, the flesh can take over and we can say we cannot serve God or we would not serve God for that reason. But then we would go on and see, as we would take time, and we don't have time to go through all of these verses, of course, but in chapter 12 of 2 Samuel, we see the war of the fatality of sin, what all of this sin caused in his life. You know, some people, they are so gripped by the sin in their life that they cannot serve God. Now, David's sin was against many things. Four things, as we look at this, there are four things which the sin was against that are listed here that is introduced by the word in verse 9, if you would. Notice in verse 9, it says in verse 9, "Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight, and thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hath slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon." Now, we know the story, how that David sent Uriah home because he had been out to battle, but as we read the story, we'd find that Uriah didn't go home, did he? Uriah went outside the king's door and lay down and rested, and then he would go back to battle. David found that out, so he sent him out to battle, back to battle, with a note for him to be put on the front line, and then he would be killed. And that's exactly what happened. Well, so let me say to you, as we look at, notice all of this says in verse 9, the word "hast." He said, and it's repeated in verse 9 several times. Notice, first of all, that when David did this, he sinned against the Scripture. Notice in verse 9 it says, "And thou hast despised the commandment of the Lord." So David sinned against the very Word of God, the Scripture. David's sins sin included a violation of the divine Word of God and what God had told him to do. Secondly, he sinned against the soldier. Notice that "thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite." David's sin involved killing or murder of one of the finest of his soldiers. And then let me say to you, he sinned against the man's spouse. David's, in verse 9, the word of God tells us that David's sin involved taking a woman for his wife who belonged to another man. In fact, the man was killed in battle. Because he was killed does not exonerate and do away with his marriage. David was not allowed to do that, but he did. He sinned against the man's spouse. But then notice, fourthly, he sinned with an ungodly sword. "Thou hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon." You see, he sent him among the enemy, and he died there at the sword of the enemy. David used the ungodly to kill Uriah. And even though David himself didn't touch Uriah, God still holds David guilty of the murder and using the ungodly world to do his evil deed. David's sin brought him a divine judgment and punishment. First of all, and we see that as Nathan came to him, and Nathan began to talk to him and tell him what God had revealed. And of course, David told the story about one that had the sheep, and how that somebody took his sheep and his only sheep and killed it. And David said, "No, that's not going to happen. Let me know, and I'll do away with him." Basically, is what he said. And then we know the famous reply. Nathan said, "Thou art the man. Thou art the man." And then he because of this story of Uriah. So first of all, the areas of punishment that were cited here in the scripture in verse 10 is, first of all, is death. The sword, notice in verse 10 it says, "Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife." Now, the sword shall never depart from thy house is what God through Nathan said to David. The sword figuratively speaks of cruel death or cruel things that happen and murder or other evil deeds that become frequent part of something. In this case, it became the frequent part of the royal family here. And then because we see in verse 11, defiance. He said, "I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house," is what God said. Out of thine own house. Now, David's sons, Amnon in 2 Samuel 13, and then Absalom in 2 Samuel 15 to 18, and then Adonijah in 1 Kings 1, are all caused great grief for David and their defiance to David. But then also he told him in verse 11 that there would be defilement. He said, "I will take thy wives and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives." And David took another man's wife and so his harem now, his wife and his harem would be polluted by another man. Of course, namely Absalom, we would find out later in 2 Samuel chapter 16. But then in verse 12, we see there's a disclosure of how God was going to bring punishment or judgment upon David. He said, "Thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun." And we would read the story and we would find that exactly what happened as far as Bathsheba was concerned and what David did, the same thing happened to David's harem, if you will, and his wives and his concubines. Out there, out in front of everybody, they were taken, you see. So David's wives would be publicly defiled, according to 2 Samuel 16, verse 21 and 22. And though his sin was private, he would reap publicly. And so we understand that we find ourselves in a world, in a nation, and folks, I'm convinced that if we're not careful, this nation is going to begin to reap publicly our secret sins. And we try to cover up all the things that we have done and all the things that we've legalized and all the things that we've done that have stood against the Word of God, and we've called it okay to do those things. And I speak mainly of abortion. And when we think of all the millions of children that have been murdered since Roe versus Wade, and of course that's a very hot topic now, and it should be a hot topic because I'm afraid this nation is going to face the hot judgment of God because we have wiped out a generation of people. And so we have to be careful. So this was the wars that David faced. First of all, he faced the war of the flesh. And then he faced the war of the fatalities brought about by sin. But then notice in chapter 13 of 2 Samuel. And like I say again, we don't have time to read all of these, but you can write these verses down, these chapters down, and read them when you get home. But he began, and that it was intimated to in chapter 12, the family wars. And we read in chapter 13 that his son Ammon defiled his own sister. And then we find in chapter 15 that his son Absalom rebelled against him for the throne. And then we find that in chapter 17 and chapter 18, we find the story of Absalom again. And we find that Absalom died. So there was the war, of the family wars that were brought on. But then we get down to chapter 19 and 20. We find the folly in the kingdom. The war of a kingdom that was all in disruption. And the folly that was going on. Have you ever seen such nonsense that's going on in a country than we have going on in our country right now? You say, preacher, are you equating America with... I'm just telling you, folks, that if we're not careful, we're going to be guilty of not serving God and standing up for God, and we may face the judgment of God for it. And the one thing that really scares me about the next 15 days or so is that God removes kings and God sets up kings. That's the part that really scares me. And I wonder, when I look at this nation and where we've gone and what we've done and what we've allowed, will God take that away and move his hand back? I'm really wondering. But folly, David faced the folly in his kingdom. There's no way he could build a house for the Lord because of all that was going on in his family and all that was going on in his flesh and all that was going on in his discipline for all that he had done. But then in chapter 19, we would get to chapter 19 and find that there was the war of the fear for his life. See, the next thing you notice, his son is trying to kill him. And then you find Saul is trying to kill him. Saul trying to kill him before he became king. But all of his life, there was somebody trying to get at him and trying to kill him. So there were the fears for his life in chapter 19. If you would look at it, we don't have time to read all that, but there was so much disorder within the kingdom. There was a revolution in the kingdom. And of course, he would always have to look over his shoulder. And of course, we had seen that many were trying to get David. He had difficulty even getting to the throne because of Saul. And Saul, of course, then before the throne, before he became king, tried to kill him, of course, several times. And then, of course, we find the rebellion within his family, rebellion within the kingdom. And then we get to chapter 21, and we see famine in the land. In verse 1, 2, and 3 of 2 Samuel 21, then there was a famine in the days of David, 3 years, year after year. And David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered, For it is for Saul and for his bloody house, because he slew the Gibeonites. And the king called the Gibeonites and said unto them, now the Gibeonites were not of the children of Israel, but of the remnant of the Amorites, and the children of Israel had sworn unto them. And Saul sought to slay them in his zeal to the children of Israel and Judah. Wherefore David said unto the Gibeonites, what shall I do for you, and wherewith shall I make an atonement, that ye may bless the inheritance of the Lord? Now, what I'm saying is there was famine in the land. We see in the first three verses. Famine, why? Because of the past. because of what happened in the past. Folks, do you realize, now I don't know whether you notice it or not, if you've heard some of the little innuendos that have been given, but there are those in this country that think that we're about to have a food shortage, that we're about to get to a place where there could be a food shortage in this land. You say, well, I don't know about that, but I'm just telling you what some of these pundits that are speaking about different things, what they're saying. But I'm just wondering, folks, are we willing to keep on serving God, or are there things in our lives that would stop us from serving God? If we want to serve the Lord, we must serve Him with reverence and godly fear, and serve Him no matter what comes tomorrow or the next day. And folks, there's always going to be the danger of the war of the flesh, and the wars within families, and the wars of folly around the kingdom, and all the things that are going on. And we have to be willing to serve the Lord. But then notice, if you would, in verse 20, in chapter 24 of 2 Samuel. Notice it said, and again the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he moved David against them to say, go number Israel and Judah. Now, we find now the war of faithlessness. David did not trust God to do what God said he would do. So David began to want to trust in numbers. And so what happened, he failed to trust the Lord. And folks, this is another war that we would face if we're not careful. And so we have to realize that there are some things that can keep us from serving the Lord, as it did in King David's life. First of all, we see there was the war against the flesh. There was the war against the fatalities, the things that would build up because of the sin that David faced. And then there's the war against family wars. It's amazing today how families are torn apart. We read about that. We find that Amnon defiled his sister in chapter 13. Then we find that Absalom rebelled against David in chapter 15, as I said. And then, of course, Absalom died. So, in conclusion, I want us to see this, what the Word of God says. Notice again, 1 Kings chapter 5 and verse 3. Thou knowest how that David, my father, could not build a house unto the Lord, unto the name of the Lord, his God, for the wars which were about him on every side, until the Lord put him under the soles of his feet. I'm going to ask you today, what stops you from serving the Lord? Are there wars on every side, every way that we turn? Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? And if a man defile the temple of God, he shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. But notice what Jude recorded for us. In Jude, verses 20 and 21. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, and keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. He says, building up yourselves. See, we have to, how do we do that, preacher? Well, we go into the Scripture. We read the Word of God and apply the Word of God to our hearts. And that brings us through these battles and these wars that would stop us from serving God. And Peter said this in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. And if you'll notice, there's a whole list of about 7 or 8 things there that he says that we're to add to our faith. Now, we're not saved by works. We're saved completely by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and his work on the cross. But after we're saved, according to 2 Peter beginning in verse 5, we're to add some things to our faith. And he gives us a whole litany of things that we're to add. And he goes on to say, if these things be in you, you shall abound yet more and more. But he says, if they're not in you, you could actually forget. The Word of God says this. You could actually forget you're even purged from your old sins. You see, that could keep us from serving God. But now, what did David do in all of this? Well, Psalm 51 is the great example of what David did. When David just came clean and said before the Lord, against thee and thee only, Lord, have I sinned. And he asked God to renew a right spirit in him and give him a pure heart. Purge him, he said. That's how will we get to the place that we can serve God. So I'm going to ask you, and I would have no inclination at all that there's anybody here that's any inkling like King David and all that David did. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm just saying if we're not careful, we can still allow the flesh to stop us from serving God. We can still come up with excuses on every side of those little wars that just needle at us and just battle with us day after day after day of why we can't serve God. And there may even be people that would say, I won't get saved because of this or because of that. Do you realize that a lot of people reject salvation by grace through faith when they look at some Christians they've met over the years? And I have to say, Lord, help me to be the kind of Christian that people would say, I want to know his Jesus. I want to know the Lord that saved him. I want to know the one that made a change in his life. May God help us to be willing to say, Lord, I'm asking you to send that revival and begin in me. And Lord, help me get rid of those things that war against me and stop me from serving you on a daily basis.